Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. As a matter of fact, I've been busy today answering the mail. A lot of you send me emails. You send me information about what you think's going on in the markets. You send me questions because maybe you've got a specific question about something that doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Maybe I haven't covered it on the radio show, so you hit me with a question, and that's totally fine. I'll tell you what, keep sending those emails in. You can reach me at askal@luinc.com. Askal, A-S-K-A-L, real simple, five letters, at L-U, stands for Lifestyles Unlimited, I-N-C, because we're an incorporated company, .com. Yeah, shoot me an email. Even if you just want to say hi, that's okay too. I appreciate the emails that I get. I really do. As a matter of fact, I got an email. Actually, I got a couple of emails from Devin, who lives up in Idaho, and he and I have been corresponding back and forth a little bit. He commented on my calculator misfire. He did. I think it was last week or maybe the week prior. I did a show that was talking about all the wealth that has been created in America just through natural appreciation, just with what is going on in our economy. The average price of a house went up like $53,000. That doesn't mean every house went up $53,000. That was an average price. And when you try and put that into a calculator and you try and figure out the number of properties that are out there, you come up with this massive number that's like in the trillions. Well, my calculator can't handle that. I got a little solar powered thing that, you know, I found in one of my junk boxes that I had this thing when I was a kid. I mean, this was the big deal because all of a sudden now you had a handheld calculator with a little solar thing in it. So it didn't even have to have batteries. I mean, this was groundbreaking technology back in like the 1980s. Yeah, back in the 1980s. So this calculator can't handle that massive number. But Devin's calculator, well, it can. And he reinforced the fact that, wow, there's a lot of wealth being created in America in real estate. As a matter of fact, Devin even followed it up with another email because I was talking about taxes. Remember last week I was talking about I did my taxes and I actually paid a lot in taxes, but because I paid a lot in taxes, that represented that I actually made a lot of money. And Devin picked up on that too. As a matter of fact, he was telling me some of the great things that are going on in his life with real estate investing. As a matter of fact, he's got a game plan. He wants to get to $10 million worth of residential real estate in the next 3 years. And I think that's a completely doable goal. I think that's a great goal. As a matter of fact, I think what we need to talk about is we need to talk about expectations. And I think we need to also talk about something called false beliefs. We do, because expectations are very important. Expectations are linked to the goals that you set for yourself. They are. I mean, you want to get someplace in your life. Oh, here, I'll hit you with the big one that we focus on at Lifestyles Unlimited. Get yourself retired in the next 5 years or less time. Yeah, that's a great goal. And once you have that goal, you have to set things in motion to achieve that goal. Yeah, you just don't go, oh, I'm just going to retire in 5 years and you just don't do anything. It doesn't work like that. The first thing you have to do is you have to set some goals, realistic goals for yourself. Now, this is where that false belief thing kicks in. Because false beliefs are things that you and I believe to be true. We absolutely believe them to be true, regardless of whether they are or not. Yeah, that's why they're called a false belief. Because a false belief is going to stop you dead in your tracks. Because you're going to think that it's absolutely true, and you're not going to pursue it. You won't. Because you think that that maybe there's a poison pill out there waiting for it. I'm not talking about what's going on with Twitter and Elon Musk. I'm talking about you making what you think is an informed decision to do or not do something based on a belief that you have. And here's the thing about these false belief systems. You have to question these false beliefs because you don't know which ones are true and which ones aren't. I'm serious. Now, there are three false beliefs that are out there, three glowing false beliefs that are out there regarding real estate investing. And many of you, well, you believe they're true. And because you believe that they're true, you decide in your mind to not pursue real estate investing because you're convinced that it's going to be a problem for you. You're convinced that it won't do better than what you're currently doing. So you don't pursue it. And that is a problem. That's a huge problem. So why don't we do this? Why don't we spend our time today constructively? And let's talk about some of these false beliefs that are out there with regards to real estate investing. Now, the very first one has to do with the concept of risk. Yeah, I'm not talking about the board game, although I used to love the board game when I was in college. We would stay up all night playing Risk. As a matter of fact, we actually engineered a way where you could take two Risk boards and you would align the northern continent and the top part of the boards against each other, and you would have dual world wars. It was pretty cool, and that's what made us stay up all night because it just made the game that much harder. But that's not the risk that I'm talking about. The risk that I'm talking about is the risk that you've heard about regarding real estate investing. You have heard that real estate investing is risky. Absolutely risky. As a matter of fact, people are negligent. They're so negligent, they'll probably burn your place down. And you know what I say to that? Burn, baby, burn. When we come back, I'll explain myself.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's going to crash. It's going to be better next year. I've got to listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me all the time. You know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop. LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Are you getting the marshmallows? Yeah, you should be getting the marshmallows because when we went to break, I mentioned that you may have a false belief that real estate investing is risky. So risky that you would allow people to go into your property. And because those people are so negligent, so absolutely negligent, they'll just burn the place down. And you know what I said just before we went to break? I said, hey, burn, baby, burn. Yeah, let it burn. Let it burn. Now, I don't want anybody getting hurt. Nobody gets hurt. I want everybody to be safe. But here's the thing. When it burns down, it's gone. It's gone. You're thinking, oh, well, see, that's my point right there. That's what I'm telling you about real estate being risky because the place burned down. Yes, it did. But here's the thing. Because I've been taught how to invest correctly in real estate, I have been taught everything that I need to understand about how to operate my business. One of the things that I've put into place is a protection. I did. I put a protection in place. It's called insurance. Insurance is in place to protect me against a peril such as my property burning all the way to the ground, even if the person living in there was negligent or not. I am protected against financial peril, which would come from the fact if I had to pay to rebuild that thing. And I don't, because I have insurance in place. Now, you might be thinking, oh, okay, well, you dodged that one, Al. That's a good job, bro. But hey, man, what about this cash flow you're always talking about? How the heck is somebody going to pay you rent in the 2 or 3 months that it's going to take to rebuild that place? Well, I'll give you my answer. It's as simple as this. Insurance. Yeah, insurance. See, that same insurance policy that I have on that property, it has a rider on it, which is called a loss of rent rider. Meaning, my insurance company will pay me the equivalent of what was on the lease during the time that it takes to rebuild that property. It's as simple as that. So the cash flow is still going to come in. It's still going to come in. I'm still going to have money coming in. It's just coming from a different source. It's not coming from the resident. See, the resident's out of play. They're really out of play. Unless, of course, they were, well, let's just say grossly negligent. I mean, if the reason that place burned down is because that person's an arsonist, okay, maybe that resident's not completely out of play because maybe law enforcement wants to talk to those people, okay, and I guarantee the insurance company is going to want law enforcement to talk to those people. But most fires that occur in dwellings, the majority of them are accidental. They're accidental. It's something happened that was unintended, or maybe you had a system or an appliance in that dwelling that just didn't do what it was supposed to do, and it caught fire, you know, and these things happen. Stuff happens in the world. Okay, so at the end of the day, the residents moved on because I have to let them out of the lease. I can't enforce a lease. The lease says I'm going to provide them clean, functional workforce housing, which doesn't exist anymore because it burned down. So the resident is gone. My general contractor is rebuilding the property to brand new condition. Yeah, brand new condition. So nothing in this property that was damaged will be original construction because it's all gone. It has to be new construction to replace it, right? I mean, you just don't, well, okay, there are people that go out and refurbish stuff, but that's not what we do in what we do in our industry. The rent will come in on time until I get my certificate of occupancy. The insurance company is going to pay me until I get my certificate of occupancy and I find my brand new resident to go into that property and they will pick it up from there. And I'll have a brand new 1-year lease going forward. Yeah, that's the way it works. So here's the way I kind of look at it. I didn't lose any money on the cash flow. I'm not losing any money on the asset. As a matter of fact, I'm actually getting a better asset out of it. Not that I'm going to recommend that, you know, you have properties burned down because trust me, the insurance companies, they watch that stuff. And that's not a viable business plan. Let's just be real clear about that. Okay. I'm protected financially. My property is protected because I've been trained to do the right things. So I don't worry about the risk of, you know, perils. I really don't. Now, some of you might think, well, you know what? You keep talking about these residents. What about these residents that don't burn your place down, But instead, they have a massive party. They get really wasted. They break out spray paint cans. They start, you know, doing whatever they do with spray paint cans on the wall, making their own version of beauty, right? Yeah. And then they realize after they've tagged your entire house inside and out, and they've just trashed everything that could be trashed, they're gone. Like thieves in the middle of the night. They're gone. They're gone. Well, I don't worry about people like that. And you might be thinking, dude, you got to worry about people like that because there are people like that in this world. Yeah, I know. I know there are people like that in this world. I just don't rent to them. And you're thinking, what? How? Wait a minute. Aren't you like the fair housing guy? Aren't you the guy that is always talking about, I rent to people, you following all fair housing laws and rules? Yeah, I'm that guy. And you're thinking, well, how, I don't get it, bro. How can you not rent to those people? You got to be fair to them, right? Well, I am being fair to them. And here's how. I follow a very strict resident screening process. It's very strict. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find the best possible people to rent my properties. I follow all fair housing laws and rules. There it is right there. I just said it. But I am strict on what my selection criteria is. I apply the same selection criteria to everyone. Everyone. Everybody gets treated the same. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your sex is. I don't care how you identify. I don't care about any of that stuff. None of it. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I'm looking for is somebody that's a class act. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Somebody that's a class act. Somebody that's got their stuff together. So how do I figure this out? Well, I run background checks. I run credit checks. I contact former landlords and I ask them how the individual was as a resident. So you probably wonder, okay, why am I looking at all this stuff? Because what it does for me is it generates information. Information that I can use so that I can make my selection. You're either in or you're out based on my selection criteria. We come back from the break. I'll talk a little bit more about what I'm looking at. Stick around.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you. You've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
Yes, he actually...
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you. Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I told you in the last segment that I do background checks on anybody that's interested in renting a property for me. And the reason I do this is because I'm getting ready to enter into a qualified business agreement with somebody who wants to occupy and reside in one of my properties for a set period of time, for a set amount of money paid at certain intervals across the entire period of the lease. And as a result of that, I want to know who I'm going into business with. I do. I want to know who I'm going into business with. So I take a look at a criminal background check. I'm really not interested in renting to people that can't follow the laws of this country. I'm serious about that. I'm not looking to rent to felons. That's one of my criteria. If you're a felon, I don't rent to you. I'm sorry. There are places that will, but I don't. If I treat everybody the same. If you're a felon, you don't get to rent from me. If you've got a couple of speeding tickets, I'm really not too worried about that. That just tells me that you got a little need for speed and a little heavy on the gas. And all right, I get that. I don't consider that like a felony. Okay, but if you've got like speeding tickets going back to every place you've ever lived, well, that kind of paints a different story now, doesn't it? It does. It shows a disregard for the law. And if you're going to disregard the law, what are you going to do to me? And I'm not even the law. Yeah. So we're starting to get an idea of why we look at criminal background checks, because we want to understand who we're doing business with. I look at credit reports. I do. And there are people out there that will say, you have to have a certain credit score to rent from me. Okay, well, I do say you have to have a certain credit score. You have to have a credit score. Yeah, you have to at least be in the system. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, if you don't have any credit out there, I can't verify who you are or if you're a good risk for paying rent in a timely manner every month. So I won't rent to you. If you don't have a credit score, I won't rent to you. But I don't draw a line at like, say, 700. I don't. And here's why. There are great people out there that will be great resonance for you that don't have a 700 or higher credit score. They don't. So why would I rent to somebody with less than a 700 credit score? Well, here's why. Most of those people, like in the, I don't know, like the 550 to 700 range, one of the reasons that their credit score is lower is probably because they've got a lot of debt. Yeah, their debt to income ratios aren't great. I mean, they make good money, they bring money into the household, but they're also paying for a bunch of stuff that they feel that they need in their lives. You know, things like maybe a car payment, right? And of course, you've got to pay your rent or you've got to pay a mortgage, right? So we're talking about these certain things. So what I look at is not necessarily the score. I look at what affects the score. And specifically what I'm looking for is anybody who's 30 days late, period. Now, if you've got like one 30-day late on your credit report and it's kind of an anomaly, I'm going to let that fly. Yeah, I'm just going to let that go. But if I'm looking at your credit report and I see a 30-day late over here, and then over here on this other account, I see not one, but two 30-day lates within a 12-month period. And then I look back over here and I see you've got, oh, there's a late on your car payment. Now, what is framing in my mind is the fact that you can't manage money. And because you can't manage money, you don't have enough money to cover your bills. And as a result of that, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, you can't rent for me. So we've talked a little bit about the credit report. We've talked a little bit about the background report. Now, why do you suppose I would call their current landlord or the landlord prior to their current landlord? Why do you suppose I would do that? I mean, most people figure, oh, whatever, you know, it's if they give you the number, then they're probably figuring, oh, if I give you the number, I would feel okay with you contacting them. And believe it or not, people that do the screening stuff, they sometimes blow this stuff off. They figure, well, you gave me the number, so what are they going to say bad about you, right? Okay. Well, you don't know unless you pick up the phone and make that call. And if you're calling the landlord where they're currently living and they're looking to move out of that property and into your property, it's possible that landlord might lie to you. Yeah, they might lie to you. Do you know that people are capable of lying? Oh, they're totally capable of lying. They may tell you the absolute truth. Oh, the person was awful, or the person was wonderful, whatever. Or they may lie to you and tell you the same thing. The reason you call the previous landlord is because that previous landlord has no skin in the game. These people have come and gone. If they were great residents, they're going to tell you, hey, they were great people. I'm sorry they went. If they were lousy people, they're going to tell you right up front, they didn't pay on time, they left the house dirty, yada, yada, yada. Okay. And the reason that landlord, not the one where they're currently at, but the previous one to that, is going to tell you the truth as opposed to the one that they're currently at, is possible that where they're currently at, that landlord's just trying to get rid of them. He just wants them to go away. He wants them to move out of the property because maybe they weren't great residents. Okay, does that make sense? All right, here's another thing that takes the risk out of real estate investing. Now, this has to do with the methodology that we practice at Lifestyles Unlimited. See, what we do when we go out and we find these dilapidated properties is we figure out what it's going to take to bring that property back to its glory days. So let's say you've got, I don't know, let's say a 1960s era property that, I don't know, somebody lived in for the last, say, 20 years, and they kind of took care of the property. You know, they fixed little things that went wrong, but some of the bigger things that weren't major things, well, they didn't deal with it. Or maybe they, you know, they used up all the serviceable life in the appliances and in the heating and air conditioning system. And maybe that roof, boy, it's been on there for a very long time. Now, it's not leaking, but maybe it's just a question of when is it going to start leaking. So you take a look at the asset and you figure out what it's going to take to bring this property back to life, to give it a life expectancy of 5 to 7 years. Now, the reason we look at a 5 to 7 year expectancy for the property and all the systems in it is because we want to be able to operate that property for 5 years, maybe even longer, and not have to deal with any major repair costs. Yeah, I'm serious about that. If you cover all the major repairs up front, if you figure out what it's going to take to bring that property up to standard, and when you figure out how to do it correctly, you'll actually be buying this property and rehabbing the property at wholesale pricing numbers. Yeah, wholesale pricing numbers, which is going to allow you to capture equity in the property. Could be $5,000, could be $10,000, could be $20,000, could be more equity than that. Just depends on the actual asset and what's going on with the particular deal. You will be in a place, you'll be in a place where the property is going to be great. Everything is going to be fine. And here's the thing. If something major in the property breaks during the time your resident lives there, chances are they broke it. Yeah, chances are they broke it. No, I don't know what your lease says, but my lease says it's on them to repair or replace it. Yeah. See, what all this does is it keeps my cash flow consistent. Takes a lot of that risk out. All right, enough on risk. When we come back, we're going to talk about time and money. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, one final thought on the risk piece, and I'll stop. Here's the thing. When you figure out what it's going to take to repair or replace all the systems in the home that need to be repaired or replaced to give them at least a five-year lifespan, when you calculate that cost and you calculate the cost for acquisition of that asset, if by combining those two numbers together, you're not capturing some equity in that property, in other words, you're not doing all this at wholesale pricing while commanding retail values for the property, that's your indication that that property will not work financially for you and you need to step away. Yeah, otherwise you're in danger of overspending on that property, and that could be risky. That could be very risky, because when you overpay for a property, you've got to wait for the market to catch up to you, and that's not a smart way to do it. Now let's talk about time. Time. Real estate, man, it takes a lot of time. Nope, it really doesn't take much time at all. Now, I spend more time every week doing radio than I do focused on my real estate assets. I'm serious about that. Now, I mean, think about it. I'm orchestrating the deal. Regardless of what I'm doing, I am orchestrating the deal. I take full advantage of the power of leverage. In other words, I leverage other people's time. I leverage other people's money. I leverage other people's knowledge. I don't go to my properties and do the work myself. First of all, I'm not that qualified to do the work. Second of all, I'm slow. I need to get this property done because I need to get it into service so that it can start earning money for me. The longer the property stays in rehab, well, that's just time that I don't ever get back. So this thing needs to get moving, and it needs to be moving at an adequate pace. Now, here's the other thing. The one area that I'll just be open and honest with you. The one area where I do think you would spend a lot of time is trying to find the asset to buy. It can be a time intensive process. It can be, but we got a way to take it out. Yeah, we got a way to make this easy. When you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, we're going to teach you how to train a team of 20 competent and capable real estate agents that are going to be on your team. And not just any real estate agents, the movers and shakers. Because what you're probably not aware of, in the real estate transactional game where realtors exist, 80% of the money is made by 20% of the agents. You didn't know that, did you? The other 20% of the money is shared by the remaining 80% of the agents. So we want you working with those top producers. Those top producers will work with you. If they know they can sell you a piece of real estate, they're going to work with you. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the dollar value is. They don't have to. Trust me, not every realtor has to make a $1 million sale every time they make a sale. They don't. No, it's a numbers game. They know that. So when you tell them what you're looking for, what your investing criteria is, when they come across a property such as that, they're going to let you know. And you're going to have the information in your mind to kind of do an analysis pretty quickly to determine whether or not this property is going to make sense for you or not. If the numbers line up, then you go, let's buy it. If the numbers don't line up, you go, eh, it's not going to work. And don't feel bad for the realtor, because if they don't sell it to you, they'll probably wind up selling it to somebody else. And here's the beautiful thing. No matter what time you have in your life, no matter how much time that you have, you're always going to have 20 high-speed, low-drag people out there looking for properties and sending matches your way. Yeah, it works. Now, there's another area that most of you think real estate, well, let's just call it what it is. Real estate takes a ton of money. A ton of money. I mean, you just got to have, the only way you can make money in real estate is you got to have a lot of money to start with, right? And that's a false belief. That's a total false belief. As a matter of fact, the amount of money that you have to start with right now is the amount of money you need to start with right now. And one of the other things that you need to do is you need to go out and look at all the things that you have and figure out if there's any value in these things that you're really not even using. What am I getting at? Well, one of the things that I did, I had a beautiful 2013 BMW motorcycle. I had the big touring bike. I love that motorcycle. It was kind of like my retirement gift when I left the military. But the problem with that motorcycle was I didn't ride it much. It looked great sitting in my garage. And it was a depreciating asset that didn't pay me any money. No, as a matter of fact, I had to pay it. I had to have it serviced. I had to put tires on it like every 10,000 miles. And fuel and oil, right? Okay. So it was costing me money to have that thing. So what did I do? I got on it, drove down to the BMW dealership. I said, sell it. They said, okay. A week later, I got a big fat check. You know what I did with the money? I bought real estate with it. I did. I put it into one of the apartment deals that Tina and I got into. I'm serious about that. I mean, there's a guy at Lifestyles Unlimited. He's a member. He's a professional musician. Now, he doesn't play, you know, like lead guitar for AC/DC. He doesn't have like crazy money like that. And he also doesn't have the drug problem. But he's a professional musician. He plays the stand-up bass. Yeah, the big one, you know, that those things got to weigh like 100 pounds, right? It's a big, big instrument. Well, he plays that thing, and he's really good at it. I've heard him in concert, not once, but twice, and he was great. But here's the thing. Professional musicians that were in the orchestra, well, they don't make a lot of money. They don't make crazy money. Believe it or not, they don't make crazy money. As a matter of fact, I think he told me that prior to the pandemic, he was making maybe in the mid-30s for a salary. But here's the thing. That guy, Steve, he started with $13,000 to his name in 2009. He bought his first rental house. And he owned it and he operated it for a very long time until he got himself to a position where he could get the second one. And he got the second one, and he continued to build little chunks here and there, little pieces of real estate that were contributing to his cash flow. And what was the result? Well, here's what the result was. Pandemic hits March 2020. Everything shuts down, right? Well, one of the first places to shut down is the Symphony Orchestra. That's not essential. Shut it down. Well, everybody that was associated with the Symphony Orchestra in San Antonio, every one of them went to the unemployment line. Oh, except for Steve. He didn't have to go because he was actually bringing in $45,000 a year in passive income off of his single-family houses that he owns. Yeah, so when he got laid off because of a pandemic and everybody else was watching their lives melt down around them, Steve was fine. Now, the only thing that affected Steve was, well, he couldn't play music and make money playing music. So that kind of set him back a little bit because he was taking all that money from playing music and buying more real estate with it. Not a problem. So what did he decide to do during the pandemic? Well, he just did cash out refinances on assets that he owned. If he can't get the money from the symphony doing what he loves to do, not a problem. I'll do a cash out refinance on this house because I've got equity in it, because he's made money over time just based off the natural appreciation of this real estate. So he does a cash out refinance on a property, still has the property, paying a little bit less cash flow because now it's got a slightly higher mortgage, but now he's got money. So he buys another asset, gets it up and running, and now he's got more money in cash flow than when he started. Does that sound like Steve is following false beliefs? I don't think he is. I think Steve learned a long time ago the power of real estate. He learned a long time ago that one little rent house, just one little rent house, became the bedrock for his real estate investment business. And in a time in our country when people were being destroyed financially because of the shutdown. The one thing that Steve had in his arsenal that never went away were all of those little houses that he bought, that he fixed up, that he put back into service as rental property, that he found great people to enter into business relationships with, and he operated those properties flawlessly. Flawlessly. And I'll tell you this, he doesn't spend a lot of time. It wasn't a big risk for him to do this. To be honest with you, in Steve's world, had Steve not in 2009 become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, had he not come to listen to what we had to say to him, 2020 would have been just a freak show for him. Let's get you started. Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshops.com. Get signed up for our free workshop. Let us show you the possibilities.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.